This morning, I want to talk a little bit about running the race. I want to talk about finishing strong. I know that God has for each of us a race to run. Each of us. But yet also corporately, he has a race for us to run. To do things as the body of Christ that is purpose for us. Sometimes we don't even know the race that God calls us to run because we haven't really asked him. We haven't really sought. We haven't really gone before him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How can I be for you and not just for myself? I want to read out of 1 Corinthians this morning. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is speaking to the church. He's speaking to us. And he's talking about his race, but he's also talking about ours as well. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. So run as to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now this morning, you know a little bit about what he's talking about. Everybody's run a race. Now, I can sit here and ask you, each one of you, are you an athlete? Are you an athlete? Do you like to run? Or were you ever an athlete? I mean, I should say, were you an athlete in the past? Did you like to run? Maybe not now, but maybe at some point in time. Or let me just ask you, have you ever run? Or maybe have you ever walked fast? Because I know running is not for everybody. Everybody doesn't enjoy the run, but athletics, most of us have experienced some level or not. But you know, whatever event, whatever athletic event, whatever you're doing, entering, you know that there's preparation. There's preparation involved. If it's a race, there's preparation for the race. There's a discipline that prepares the body and prepares the mind to take on the challenge of whatever the challenge is. Some of you know that challenge very well. There's an inner working that allows athletes to break barriers. I know a little bit about this because I know what it's like to run 1 mile and then have to train for long distance. I used to run cross country in high school, so I ran as a 9th grader and also as a 12th grader. And I remember when I first ran, I couldn't finish. I couldn't finish. We would go out and run 3 miles, but I had to walk half the course because I thought, you know, I'm young. I know how to run. I could run around baseball, diamond. I could do things like that. I could run. I wasn't slow. But when it came to running the race, the long-distance race, I couldn't finish. And I realized there's more to this than I thought. But I didn't give up that day. I didn't quit that day thinking, oh, this is not for me. No, I kept going. And by the end of the week, I could finish. Running every day, more and more, my lung capacity grew, my legs changed and adapted. And yes, it helped being young, but I could finish. Now, I'm not saying I was a world setter. I didn't set any records. I remember my first year, you know, when I ran the race, that 5K, and I think I ran it around 27 so minutes, that was fine. That first race I did it, I was just happy to finish. I didn't finish last, and that was good. But I got better, and I got better, and I got better. And I remember the training prepares you to do things more excellent, with more excellence. To go to higher levels, to compete against tougher competition. And I can remember being a senior, and I can remember by the end of the year, I really I mean, I felt fast. I mean, I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't like a college runner or anything like that. But I could break the 6-minute mile and not slow down. I could get it. I could get that under six minute mile for 3 miles. And that's moving. Now, it's not the 5-minute mile. It's not the world record setters. It's not the people who do that. But that was great. And I was in great shape. I was in wonderful shape. And I kept running over time. I've done 10Ks. I've done 5Ks over the years. And so I know what it is to run. I know what it is to have to break barriers. I know Paul is speaking here, and you know, he's not really so much a runner. Paul is not an Olympic runner by any means. That's not his perspective. He's talking about running a race that's a bit different than running the 5K or the 10K, even though we can use that analogy to talk about what he's speaking about. His perspective is eternal, not that which is passing away. He has a greater purpose than just a prize that's passing away, which he speaks of. He says, those runners who run the race, the 10K, the 5K, they run for a prize that is passing away. He talks about a wreath, or maybe a medal, or maybe a trophy, something that eventually will probably be put in a box and put in an attic somewhere, and maybe forgotten about, and maybe eventually even thrown away. It just has a temporary purpose. But he's telling us the greater purpose is eternal. There's a race that's to be run, and it's to be run with a perspective that looks upon all of eternity, not just this life that we're living here. And the race that Paul is talking about, the race that he's running, is not just for himself, because he's running a race that also is purposed for others. The way he's running, how he's running, he's doing it to impact other people's lives, to make a difference, eternal difference. In fact, Paul tells us that he lives his life to win others. And if you read the whole chapter, it talks more about that, like how he bends himself this way and that way in order to win people over to speak the gospel, or to even get the opportunity to speak the gospel so that people would hear it, maybe in their language, through their understanding. So he tries to continue to speak the gospel in a way that people can understand. So if he's talking to Athenians, he tries to understand what is it like to speak to people who are from Athens. Or if he's in Corinth, like where this church is, he tries to understand how to speak the language that Corinthians would understand, and to bring the gospel to them in a way that they will understand the eternal perspective of God and his kingdom. He knew his calling was purposed by God for a greater work, and he was willing to discipline himself. He calls it training. But sometimes that's saying that even in his flesh, he would not just give his life over to fleshly pursuits, just to do whatever the flesh wanted to do, because that would hinder the gospel and the message and the work that he was called to do. So there were even times when, yes, he disciplined his flesh like a trained athlete to put off. Now, a trained athlete might have to put off eating certain type of food, or maybe making sure you get the rest you need, the liquids and the hydration that you need, eating the right foods, doing the right things. There's discipline in being a great athlete. And Paul's saying the same thing about living for Christ. He says, I discipline myself so that others might know Christ, and that I won't be disqualified. I won't be disqualified by the way I live. Meaning I preach one thing, but I live another thing? He says, no. I discipline myself, I train myself up in such a way that what I preach is what I live, so that I would not be disqualified, and so that those who hear my words would not be dissuaded or hurt because they don't see a matching of what I preach with what I live. So Paul wants to finish his race well. According to God's purpose for his life, he didn't put his eyes upon temporary things of earth. He has something so much greater to live for. And sometimes we hear from Paul. He says sometimes he had things. Sometimes he had abundance of things. And sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he lacked things. But he said he became content in all things because his focus was the kingdom of God. His focus was on God. in serving God's purposes. Paul had a calling on his life. We all have a calling on our lives. God has a calling for each one of you. Each one of you. He knows you. He knows you by name. Whether you call him Lord or not, he knows you by name. And he calls you to a relationship with him. He has a calling on your life. It may not be like Paul's in the details of Paul's calling, but we're still called for an eternal purpose. And like Paul, we have a race to run to the finish line. Good athletes know how to keep going. They know how to keep going in the race. Because if you've ever run, you know that you can get tired. You can get weary. You can get cramps. You can get pains. Your feet can hurt. Sometimes, and I remember this, I remember the early on, the wanting to quit. The wanting to quit. But you train your mind to not quit. You train your mind to keep going, that there's the finish line ahead. Keep going. It may hurt a little bit now. The cramp may not feel good. The tiredness makes you want to quit. But you keep going because you know there's a finish line. You know there's that. The ribbon is laid ahead. You are to cross the finish line before you can be done. There's a story about Cliff Young. Cliff Young knew how to finish a race. I think we have a picture of Cliff Young. That's him. That's him after somebody gave him some racing clothes. Because he didn't have racing clothes. In fact, he wanted to enter a race. He was 61 years old. He always thought about racing, that would be kind of a great thing to do. He kind of had a real interest in that, but he never raced a race, a true race, until he was 61 years of age. And so there he is, 61 years of age, and he heard about this ultra marathon. I mean, all the things, you know, you want to go and you want to do a race. He hears about the ultra marathon. He says, that's it. I'll do that one. He had some time. He said, all right, that's good. I'm going to race. But he was not a well-trained athlete. He was not a world-renowned runner by any means. In fact, he was a farmer. He was a farmer who raised sheep and grew potatoes. And he did this for many years. His training was life. In fact, maybe we have another picture. Yeah, that's Cliff. And that's generally how you would see him run, minus the rain jacket. You see the boots? Well, those are farmer boots. Those clothes, well, those are like overalls. You probably don't see, but he wears overalls. Well, that's his farming outfit. You know, that's what he showed up on the first day of the race. He showed up with work boots and overalls. That's how he was going to run the race. He wasn't this well-trained athlete, but his training, like I said, was life. He was too poor on his farm to own an off-road vehicle. He didn't have one. And so he had to herd sheep. He had said he had 2,000 sheep on 2,000 acres. And so how did he herd sheep? On foot. He ran. And when the storms came, and he needed to round up his sheep and keep them together and get the flock together, he would round them up. He would run. And run. And run. And run. For days. Sometimes, if necessary. 2,000 acres, that's a lot of acres. And he did it until the job was done. He just had a way he learned over time. So his training was life, herding animals on foot. And now at 61, he was to run an ultra marathon, showing up like that, kind of, boots and overalls. Now, by the way, an ultra marathon, if you don't know, and I didn't, is 544 miles. At least the one he ran was 544 miles. It was across the continent of Australia from one major city to another major city. across the continent. And you almost just think that's kind of crazy, but he picked that one. He picked that one. That's the one he wanted to do. And obviously, he did not look like a trained runner. Nobody really. In fact, people asked him, like, kind of like, are you in the right place? And certainly, when he was running, they other people had asked him, would you like to stop? I mean, there was questions that were given to him that were like, you really shouldn't be here. And he certainly didn't look the part. But when he began to run, again, he didn't impress anybody. It was more like a slow shuffle, like just a slow shuffle down the road. He quickly fell behind because, again, he was not breaking any speed records of any sort. He fell behind the pack. The pack continued on. And what others would do, others would race for 18 hours, and they would rest for six. 18-6, just do it over and over again. But Cliff had a different perspective, and that made all the difference in his race. Cliff wasn't this well-trained athlete, so he didn't know about that 18-6 thing, the way of doing things, the way you're supposed to do things, right? He didn't know about that. He wasn't well-versed in running. So he didn't stop. That 18 hours came, and he was behind the pack, but he kept running. He kept running through the night. In fact, that's how he had herded sheep. He just kept running until the job was done. Oh, he might rest for an hour here or there, maybe to change his shoes, which he had help. New shoes, maybe get a little bite of nourishment, but he kept going. While other racers were sleeping, in the middle of the night, he would pass them by. And this is how he eventually took the lead and eventually never looked back as he continued to race for over 6 days until the job was done at the finish line, where he broke the record by over 9 hours. Don't tell Cliff he can't run. Don't tell Cliff that those farmer boots can't work out here. Don't tell him he's too old at 61 to even attempt such a thing. Because obviously this is the kind of race that not everybody finishes. In fact, he won $10,000 doing the race. He gave, now, depending on what account you read, he gave all of it or most of it away. Because he wasn't really after the money. He just wanted to run. He wanted to do something in life, a race, that was setting something ahead of him that, it was just something he had his heart, his mind on. It's interesting how it was his life experiences and his disposition to finish got him to the end, and not only to the end, but actually winning the prize. I don't think we have another, no. So what is important, I think, out of this is it's important to finish. It's important to finish. Our perspective is so crucial to this, and how we look at the situation, how we look at the race, how we look at life is so essential. There are things we have yet to do that God has purposed for us, but we've yet to come to that finish, that completion, that fulfillment. Even if your life, there's things that God wants to do in your life to fulfill in your life. It's not done yet. It's time to keep going. The perspective is for all eternity, and the lessons we learn along the way build us up, build us for eternity. In fact, there's probably, if he didn't have all those years of herding sheep, he probably couldn't have done this at 21 or 31. He needed all that life experience to help him along, to keep going in the race. Now think about the disciples who walked with Jesus for a moment. They were common men, fishermen, common, ordinary, uneducated people. There was nothing really special about them. And it's interesting how even God uses something like fishing to shift their perspective on eternal matters versus just what we see in the natural. Luke 5 speaks about this. Luke 5 says, this is Jesus with the disciples. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, he said, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. But Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You see, the fishermen knew how to fish. That was their profession. They knew what they were doing. It just happened to be that on that night, it had not gone well. They had gone out, they had fished all night, nothing to really show for it, and they were tired. They were weary. They were ready to call it quits. In fact, they had already called it quits because they were mending their nets, they were working their nets to put up, to put away. They were done, at least for the time being. But Jesus sees beyond all the natural circumstances, the things that we see, because he looks at Simon Peter and says, no, you're not done. You're not done. Get your nets. Let's go fishing. Because there was something to learn that day, just like we have things to learn, that God's perspective is not our perspective. And sometimes if we rely too much on our perspective, we lose and miss the very eternal perspective that God has, the very God perspective, the kingdom of God perspective that he has. And if we get too tied up in our perspective, we could even look at Jesus and say, no, I'm done. Really, I'm done. We can sit back and tell Jesus like this, say, we're tired. We don't want to go any further. Because, you know, Jesus, we can tell him all the reasons. We did go fishing. There were no fish. We didn't catch any. We've even come to a place to believe there's no fish in this lake. We were so, our experience was so bad, it was so poor. But at least the disciples, they didn't want to, right? They didn't want to. They were tired. They didn't want to. There was nothing in their flesh that wanted to. Just like being in that race, there's sometimes when the flesh just wants to quit, to put aside. The want to may not be there, but the voice of Jesus speaks and says, no, go to the deep and cast your nets. And everything that we know at that point changes. Everything that we know changes. Because just like that, a great overflow of fish is brought out. I wonder if we can sometimes be like this. I wonder in the church as individuals, I wonder sometimes if we can be like this, where we can be like old, tired fishermen. We've done that. We did that. We don't want to do it again. We just want to go home. Just let us go. But what happens when God says to us, cast your nets again? He has a perspective that we don't want to miss. And it's upon hearing his voice that we can even do it, because our flesh doesn't want to do it. Now, I don't know if you went back and heard the message that Andre Bronkhorst gave on Sunday night, but there was certainly some prophetic words in his sermon, in his message. One thing he talked about was he spoke that God is doing something greater in this season. There's a work going on even now that in the midst of all the turmoil in our culture, in our world, that God is doing something greater. And sometimes we don't perceive it. Sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes we think the world is just It's just going to a big mess. But in the midst of all that, God is doing something beyond what we understand. It's beyond what we have known. He spoke about rest. Andre spoke about rest, resting in him. But he said that rest was not a state of doing nothing. It was not just sitting back and just riding it out. But it was more about resting in him in a way that in him, things become easier. They can take place. Things that took sometimes years and hard work and, you know, not much happening, all of a sudden become like overflow. Like we've been casting our nets all night and nothing happening, but then at the word of God, at his beckoning, we go out and in one cast catch overflow. There's something about the kingdom of God that works this way. That sometimes we don't understand it because it's not our perspective, it's his perspective. It's his kingdom, not our kingdom. It's the way he works, not the way we work. But if we sit and understand and listen to him, he teaches us about how things work according to his way of doing things. There's a lesson in help that helps us run the race. We can look again in the Bible and we can see the 5 loaves and 2 fish. We know the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. When in the hand of Jesus, because all the disciples were like saying, this is not enough. We have 5,000 men. We have over 10,000 people. And Jesus says, oh, have them sit down. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay. To Jesus, that's enough. To us, we're like, no, that's not enough. That's not enough. Sometimes in our own arrogance, we want to shake Jesus. It's not enough. But the kingdom perspective and Jesus' understanding is like, it's enough. In the hands of God and what he wants to do and how he wants to multiply this, it's enough. These were things that Jesus was teaching the disciples. They're things that he wants us to understand, that some things, when it's God and when it's his work, his hand, they can flow and work in a way that we just don't even understand, but it happens and takes place, and there's multiplication and there's an ease in which things happen. It's not logical according to our understanding, but it's things like only God makes possible, where the leftovers are greater than even the first offering. Well, the disciples had to follow Jesus, not in their own understanding, because their own understanding was constantly challenged. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, your understanding is going to be challenged. It's going to be. Because we see from such a finite perspective. We don't see it from a kingdom perspective. God wants us to have a kingdom perspective on how he does things, and that means it runs headlong with our understanding, and we have to be willing to not trust, as the proverb says, to do not trust in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. That means in all your ways, all your thinking, acknowledge him. As he, get his understanding, get his wisdom. And he says, if you need wisdom, ask. Ask for it. Ask for wisdom. Ask for godly wisdom. Because he gives. He gives godly wisdom. So, Lord, help us to see it from your perspective. Now, some maybe, if I say something like the kingdom of God is greater than any kingdom of mankind ever was, ever is today, that God's kingdom is greater, and God's kingdom is here working even in the world today, in America today, and his kingdom is greater, many would agree, yet some would say, I don't see it. I just don't see it. My eyes don't see it. Yet this is based on what we know, based on what we see. But the more we hear his voice, the more we listen to his heart, the more we come to an understanding that's like, oh, that's what you're about. That's what you're doing. That's what you want me to do. And that's what you want me to be a part of. There's no way David takes down Goliath through a fleshly understanding. There's no fleshly understanding that says that a 5-foot-something teenager can knock down a 9-foot giant. There's nothing in the flesh that says that. You have to have a God perspective that says, not me, but me and my God will defeat this Philistine. who has defied and spoken blasphemy against the God of heaven and earth. The more we hear his voice, the more we listen to his heart, the more transformation takes place in our lives, the more we understand in eternal perspective, the picture becomes clear. So it really does not matter what season you're in, God has a purpose for you. And it is, he's calling us to have an eternal perspective. He's calling us to have the finish in mind, and that how we live is purposed in him, to listen and hear his voice, to hear his purpose for us right now. What is it God's calling us to do? Lord, what is your voice saying? Where are we to cast our nets? Don't put up those nets. The Lord is still calling us. The race is not over. There is more. There is more. I thought it was funny that Andre, he said he was praying for the retirement home where the youngest person was 80 years old. He said there were 80 to 100. And he was giving prophetic word, and he questioned God, are you sure you have the right people? Because these people are in the last days of their life. But God spoke clearly to him. It's like if they have breath, if they have days left in their life, they have purpose in their life, they have an eternal purpose in their life. And even they're to live their last days for me. We're not done yet. What is God speaking? What is God saying to you? What's the eternal perspective that we need to have? And to shift our mind towards living, like Paul says, living in such a way to run the race, to complete to the very end, to accomplish the very purposes of God.